I like big butts, and I cannot lie. You other brothers can't deny that when a girl walks in with an itty bitty waist and a round thing in your face, you get sprung. Wanna pull up tough, cause you notice that butt was stuffed deep in the jeans she's wearing. I'm hooked and I can't stop staring. Oh, baby, I wanna get whipped up.
Wait, you still are listening to Radio Parallax here on KDVS 90.3. We just started out with something a little different. Baby's Got Back by Sir Mix-a-Lot. You know, sometimes a song is just so bad that it's great. I remember seeing that on late night television, the video of Sir Mix-a-Lot with all those girls with the apricot butt sticking out. Pretty funny stuff. Music is important to all of us, and so we were inspired to attempt on this segment of the program, and perhaps in the weeks to come, to assess music that we really react to in a bad way. Bad music. And here to help me go through this is our special student correspondent, Steve Valentino. Welcome, Steve.
Evening, Doug.
Now, you know, I'm pretty familiar with bad music of the 50s, even the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, but I get a little bit lost in the 90s.
Well, I think you made a very good selection starting out with Baby's Got Back. I mean, it is a gimmicky song, but there's a lot of terrible music that was written in this decade that I'd be more than happy to go over.
Well, I'm happy to have you help me go through some of this, and we're going to do what we can to, I think, do the whole last maybe half century with emphasis on more recent tunes of some stuff that really should stand out, I think, in all of our minds as, you know, great examples of things you hear in elevators. And worse.
Or things you will hear in dentist's office in 20 years.
I think we were inspired in this effort by one of America's great humorists, Dave Barry. Dave Barry put out a book called The Book of Bad Songs, I guess, last year that somebody gave me as a birthday present. Quite hilarious. As we've mentioned on this show several times, went to go see Dave Barry when he spoke in Santa Rosa in September. And he said, out of his very mouth, he didn't care whether we read his columns on our program. So I'm going to excerpt a little bit from his book for the purposes of outlining what we're trying to do here. This is not as easy as you think it might be. Dave wrote a column back in 1992 about songs he didn't like and how he was lamenting that the radio seems to play songs he doesn't like as opposed to songs he does. He mentioned Neil Diamond and then evoked apparently an avalanche of hate mail from all of Neil's fans out there. But you know, I think we're going to have to side with Dave on this one. For example, something he cited in his column. Consider the song, I Am, I Said.
I am myself to no one there, and no one heard at all, not even the chair.
Now, to quote from Dave Barry, what kind of line is that? Is Neil telling us he's surprised that the chair didn't hear him? Maybe he expected the chair to say, whoa, I heard that. Or did he expect to get a call saying, Mr. Diamond, you're Barca Lounger on line 4. Now, Dave Barry said that his guess was that Neil Diamond was desperate to come up with something to rhyme with there. So he used chair, having already rejected, so I ate a pear, like Smokey the Bear, and there were nits in my hair. Dave Barry was inspired to then have a contest, to have readers write in and tell him about songs that they hated, as he wanted to see where it would all lead. Well, apparently the song that Dave Barry's readership hates is MacArthur Park. Now, we talked in the show a couple months back, actor Richard Harris, a legendary character, passed away. Well, among the things on Richard Harris's interesting resume was an effort to be a singer, which he appeared on The Tonight Show, I guess, in the 1960s, singing this song, MacArthur Park, which became quite a substantial hit. It was later reissued by Donna Summer in a disco version in the 1970s. The fact that there are two versions disliked by people, I think, is what pushed to the top of the list. Now, you've never heard this song,
I have
Steve.
Never heard this song before. You know, I've spent plenty of times in elevators, too. And I'm just surprised. I mean, maybe if I just listen to it, I'll recognize it. But the title doesn't ring a bell, and anything about a cake really doesn't.
The selection that won, MacArthur Park. Mr. McMillan?
MacArthur's Park is melting in the dark. All the sweet green icing flowing down. Someone left the cake out in the rain. I don't think that I can take it, cause it took so long to bake.
like it, and I'll never have that recipe again.
Ring any bells, Steve?
You know, I guess I just must have had a very sheltered childhood, or my parents just wanted to protect me from music like this. But
I think this is a bad choice. I mean, we don't have to agree with Mr. Barry. I think it's a pretty decent song. It's performed a little over the top by Richard Harris. But,
oh no, it's a terrible song.
No,
what,
it is
what,
not.
What makes it so good? What is it about it? I mean, is it the lyrics?
As we're going to discuss in the rest, de gustibus non est disputandum, we can't really argue about how much you like it. I just happen to like that song.
Yeah. You also like Blondie and Pat Benatar.
We'll come to that later, my friend. So. We'll come to that later.
One
but
way or another.
I have to cite, we're going to try and not just ape Dave Barry the entire segment here, but I do have to quote from him in his book of Bad Songs, that one of his readership wrote him and told this story. I mean, having just heard MacArthur Park, remember about the line about the cake in the rain, someone left a cake out in the rain? All right. During high school, the reader said, I played electric bass in the school jazz band. The night of the final spring concert, we were performing one of our band director's favorites, MacArthur Park, a song well established in the pretentious Trash Hall of Fame. We got to the very end of the song. The band plays boom, 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 boom. The band director pauses to give the signal for the last crashing chord. George Roth, a senior trombonist, stands up in the front row, slaps his forehead and goes, oh, Jesus, the cake.
Now, see, I think the problem with that song is just that it's overdone. It's over the top. It's trying too hard to be arty or artistic.
I really have to agree. I don't like the Donna Summer version. Well, sometimes I think you can try a little bit too hard, and perhaps they did with MacArthur Park. You got something more recent vintage that's maybe trying a little too hard?
Well, what do you think of Tom Jones? I mean, he's not a contemporary artist.
King of the cheese balls.
He did try and have a comeback in the 90s.
He did actually Kiss. He did a version of Prince's Kiss that wasn't bad.
I haven't heard that, but he did team up with a band called the Cardigans, which were very big about 96, and they did a version of the Talking Heads' Burning Down the House. Now,
okay,
I love the Talking Heads.
I gotta
heads.
Hear this.
It's you're in for quite a treat.
All right, let's hear this. You see, I actually like that song. It's trying hard, but somehow, you know, I like it.
Well, it's hard to screw up the Talking Heads. I mean, they didn't really alter the beat of it. They didn't alter the lyrics too much. But Tom Jones singing, I mean, he's better with Ain't Unusual. Even
top.
What's Up Pussycat, you know, it wasn't a great song, but it fits more of his style of singing. It's more, you know, sequins and lounge and sitting on a piano.
Right. You think of Bill Murray, you know, singing like, you know, Star Wars in a lounge. All right. We can't really choose, I guess, gimmick songs. Like, for example, now this wouldn't be a bad song. And that's not really a bad song. It's a gimmicky song. It's very engaging. It's actually a huge bestseller, too.
Well, I mean, it has its place because people,
right.
It's not taking itself too seriously.
No, exactly.
But there are certain songs where there's a thin line between, is it a gimmick or is it...
Well, no, that's you bring up an interesting point. The one we aired some weeks ago, I mean, you know, Bill Shatner, Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds. Is he serious? It's hard to know.
Well, I don't know because, I mean, it kind of sounds like he's making fun of himself, but then whenever he talks, it sounds like he's making fun of himself.
That's... absolutely true. Let's hear some.
Picture yourself in a boat on a river with tangerine trees and marmalade skies. Somebody calls you. You answer quite slowly. A girl with kaleidoscope eyes.
Well, it's hard to know whether he's serious.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I can't decide. But he did.
I think he originally started out serious and decided that self-parody was the way to go. So he does all those ads for Priceline. He's making fun of himself that are actually quite amusing.
Yeah, definitely. Now this is off an album which he did with Leonard Nimoy. It's called Music to Watch Space Girls By, and it's a must have. It's absolutely brilliant. And I don't know.
Let's hear some Nimoy.
He does a song called Bilbo Baggins, which I thought was very
topical. Oh, it is. Let's yes. hear it.
In the middle of the earth, in the land of Shire, lives a brave little hobbit whom we all admire. With his long wooden pipe, fuzzy woolly toes, he lives in a hobbit hole and everybody knows him. Bilbo, Bilbo Baggins, he's only 3 feet tall. Bilbo, Bilbo Baggins, the bravest little hobbit of them all.
Wow. You know, I'm surprised they didn't want to resurrect that for some of the theme music for the new Lord of the Rings trilogy.
Well, you know, it kind of would have taken away from the gravity of the film itself.
You think so?
Just a little bit.
Maybe you're right. All right, I want to go with a song and group that I particularly loathe, Daryl Hall and John Oates.
Now,
I think they were like the most popular. I think they sold more, had more number one hits than anybody else, I believe, in the 80s.
I am not really familiar with them, but again, as I said, I've had a very sheltered musical childhood.
All right,
but
stay tuned. Here we go. Maneater. This is the tie with the most repetitive song ever made. It's a tie between this song and Bruce Springsteen's Born in the USA. But let's hear Maneater. All I got to say is, whoa, here she comes. Look out, boy. She'll chew you up. Whoa, here she comes. She's a man eater.
And see, I'm going to say that this song is probably just the perfect example of everything that is wrong with 80s music. And, you know, there's some good stuff.
On the whole, I like 80s music.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, it's because it's well produced. But I don't think this is well produced. It's, you know, as you demonstrated, it's just terrible lyrics.
It's mind-numbingly repetitive.
Exactly.
It's not like the bulk of 80s music.
Well, yeah, but it's all synthetic.
All right. Well, anyway, that's funny because I got a copy here from Biography Magazine. Where are they now? Daryl Hall and John Oates. It says they still tour extensively in North America, Europe, and Japan. And this fall, I guess that was just this fall that just passed, they're releasing their first album of all new material since 97.
I can't wait. But if Steely Dan had to come back, then so can they.
Oh, you're way off base, my friend.
I'm waiting for Milli Vanilli to come back.
This is more like, I think Daryl Hall and John Oates putting out new material first time since 97. This reminds me of The Onion. The listing in the calendar that's out in The Onion that Chicago Bears reunite. First new album since Super Bowl Shuffle back in 1985. I think that ranks right up there with Hall and Oates. All right, well, that was some bad 80s, and we'll, I think, return to some bad 80s. You got some bad 90s?
I got something you might not like to hear.
All right, surprise me. What the hell was that?
Well, it's Britney Spears, okay. Email My Heart. Now, this is an album, I think. No, I don't personally
own it. Email My Heart by Britney Spears.
It was their way of really connecting with the 12-year-old girls out there because we live in a digital age. Everyone communicates on computers. And really, it's how we finished the decade. I mean, this was not a big song, but it was on her large, a very big album in 99 that came out. And So a lot of people were listening to it. Not my thing particularly, but
you know what that reminds me of? That's like, that reminds me of something that's, let's go back on the track about 20 years. Yeah, that Britney Spears sort of nasally obnoxious, can't sing too well voice reminds me of early Madonna. I mean, like when she did Lucky Star, Borderline, Like a Virgin, That's a toss-up. What's the worst Madonna song ever? It's got to be one of those three.
No, I would say it would be Holiday, but that's just one that I personally loathe. I don't know.
Oh, those are four bad ones. I mean, I think she developed into a pretty good performer with, like, you know, Open Your Heart, La Isla Bonita, Into the Groove.
La Isla Bonita. Well, she's
like
come,
a prayer.
Some of her contemporary stuff, you know, her new Bond song. Have you heard to that? It's awful.
I haven't heard it. I'm afraid we don't have it for our listeners, but someone that wrote one of the other Bond classics called this one the worst
Elton
Bond
John
song ever.
Came out and said that it was the worst Bond song that has ever been done. And if you listen to it, there's no melody to it. It's techno over the top. It's just one little beat and no melodic singing at all.
Well, let's go back even further. This is one I think we can agree with Dave Barry on. This is from 1969 from the one-hit wonders Zager and Evans, which I think that Barry said that, I mean, a number of most hated per writer song. This was near the top of the list. Let's hear an excerpt from In the Year 2525.
In the year 2525, if man is still alive, if woman can survive, they may find. In the year 3535, ain't gonna need to tell the truth, tell no lies.
Yep, that's a classic of bad music.
Oh, it's such just a powerful image of the future.
And I can't figure out where they jump from 2525 to 3535. The later, I think they go to 4545.
That's quite a jump, but they're
1100 year is at a crack.
They have a message. I mean,
I think they do. I'm just not quite sure what it is.
Now I've got one for 68 for you. Yummy, Yummy, Yummy by Ohio Express.
Oh, Yummy, Yummy, Yummy. I got love in my tummy. Good call.
Yummy, 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 I got love in my tummy, and I feel like I'm loving you. Love you, such a sweet thing, good enough to eat thing, and it's just what I'm gonna do. Ooh, love to hold ya, ooh, love to kiss ya, ooh, love.
Now see, is that a gimmick song, Doug? I mean, I would equate that to Shatner, because it's a very fine line, I can't really tell.
Well, people kind of winced when it came out, yet it was a big hit, so I don't think it really is in the category of a gimmick song.
Well, it's one of those guilty pleasure songs, I think, that everyone says they hate, but they secretly like. It was the same thing that we saw with the Spice Girls in 95,
yeah.
Which, you know,
yeah,
not very good music, but people still went out and bought, I think, 11 million of their records.
Well, speaking of not very good music, but sold a lot of copies, we should end this segment because we're just about out of time with one of the absolute classics of 1970s, really atrocious music. Stay tuned for the immortal Iron Butterfly. Steve, come back. Let's do this again.
I'll be back. Thanks for having me.
All right. The classic we will end with is Inagata Da Vida. You've been listening to Radio Parallax here on KDVS 90.3 FM. I am your host, Douglas Everett. Thanks to Steve Valentino and Stuart Gardner. We'll see you again next Thursday. You know that.